So as we go through, let me do a quick review. Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah realizes that his people are in a bad place. Pick it up at verse 4. Let's pick it up at verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity in the province are in great affliction, great distress, depression, and shame. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned. And it came to pass when I heard these words, verse 4, that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So we're still in our vein of prayer. How he begs God on their behalf in verse 5. He adores God also. Verse 6, he goes on to confess his sins. But we took a pause in verse 5, and I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great, awesome God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So we took a pause right there and we went to John. So let's go to John chapter 14. Because we noticed a conditional covenant there. There's a conditional covenant based on love, then I need to know if I love God or not to see if I'm part of the covenant, the conditional covenant, so to speak. So we went to John 14 and 15. If you're there, say amen. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, you'll keep my prescription. There's a prescribed way to live. There's an intentional way to live. And Jesus said, if you love me, then you will live intentionally for me. You'll practice living for me daily. Not confusing the struggle and the practice, because we all struggle with something. Somebody say amen. But when you love God, you don't throw in the towel. You don't give up. It's intentional. It's a daily thing. God's prescription, I'm trying my best to follow God's prescription. Yes, we all fall short. All have come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean I give up and I throw in the towel. I keep fighting intentionally to live for God daily. Confess my sin. I get back up and I move forward in God. I don't give up. I don't throw in the towel. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep following my prescription. Verse 17, it talks about, he says, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know me, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. He's speaking of the Trinity. It's no mystery why people don't come to church often. While some people don't want to go to church, they'll make all types of excuses. But we know when the word is going forth and the spirit of truth is speaking, as he talks about in verse 17, and you're convicted, you know that your life has to change. You know that you have to get some things in order. So I don't want to come to church because I don't want to hear that, because the spirit of truth is going to be speaking. You cannot deny the spirit of truth when it's coming from this unadulterated word. When it's the word being taught, the spirit of truth is speaking. I don't blame them. When I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, I didn't want to hear that either. I didn't want to hear from my Christian friends either. I didn't want to hang out with them, because somebody might ask me, man, how you living? I don't want to hear the spirit of truth right now. I'm kind of doing my own thing. But the spirit of truth, make no mistake, it speaks loud and clear through the word. Maybe that's why we stay so distracted and don't get into the word, because I don't want to hear what the spirit of truth has to say today. Verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We're speaking of the Trinity. It says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Make a note that Jesus conquered death. That's why if he lives, then we should live also, because he lives in us. He's conquered death, the great mystery. That is just one of the unknown mysteries, death. But Jesus conquered it. We don't have to fear death. Because Jesus, he's the only one that went to the other side, then came back and told us how to get there and how we can bring family and friends with us. Amen. I'm going to be speaking more of this on New Year's, but how Jesus Christ split time in half. And we know that's how the new year started. And we've had some every year you have great people die. But nobody stopped time and started it over again. According to the world standards, I mean, great men like John Glenn, he just passed away, and he's the first one to go into space in orbit, orbit around space. But Jesus Christ created the orbit and space and the galaxy and everything else. Amen. I mean, so we can't, it's no comparison how Jesus Christ conquered death. I mean, Muhammad Ali died this year. He was a great fighter. Okay, yeah, exactly. My point exactly. I mean, and it's no disrespect, but I'm saying when you look at what Christ did, the most compelling figure in the history of mankind, nobody stopped and started time over again. Prince died, created some good music, some questionable music, but it was good nonetheless. Most of us grew up on that kind of stuff. But in Jesus Christ is the one who created the voice that gave him the music and the mindset to be musically a musical genius. Jesus conquered death. There were two people that didn't have to die. He took them up. All right, let's have a quiz. Amen. Two biblical men that didn't have to die. One was Enoch. Amen. The other, Elijah. Amen. All right, so make a note of that. They didn't have to die. Jesus, Elijah got taken away in a chariot of fire. God told Enoch to come up for a day. The only thing is, in paradise, it's always day. So he's still up there. And if Christ were to come back now, some of us wouldn't have to die in order to transition to paradise. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." If he were to come back tonight, some of us we wouldn't have. I'm not saying all of us, but some of us would just transition. That's between you and God. But although they got taken up without dying, they didn't conquer death. They did not conquer death. They just transitioned without dying. But they didn't conquer death. Jesus Christ died and resurrected on that third day. He conquered death. That's why I said, if I live, you're going to live too. Because I dwell in you. It's just a smooth transition. No fear, no worry, no stress. Just come on up. Nobody else can make that claim. Verse 20, at that day you should know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. We talk about the Trinity. We talk about being filled with the Spirit of God. God lives in this temple today. Wow, that's deep. We've been studying in Bible study how the presence of God was in the tabernacle. Then it was in the cloud. It was in the fire. But now God says, I want to live in you. That's amazing. And he says, just like I directed the cloud and the fire, I want to direct your life. Will we allow God to direct our life? When the cloud moved, they moved. God says, when I tell you to move, I want you to move. When I tell you to stay, I want you to stay. When I want you to talk, when I want you to be quiet, I want you to follow me to the T. But are we dialed in that so we can hear what God has to say to us daily? God says, now I want to live inside of you and your temple. It's not your body, it's mine. I've bought you with a price. Now you think about it. What did you do with your temple last week with God right there inside of you? Say, Pastor, I can't remember. Well, how about last night then? Okay, let's just focus on last night and this morning. How did you treat your temple? Who did you allow to touch your temple? Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keep them, underline keep them, you guard them, you embrace them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. It's a lot of love based on obedience. We talked about it last week. Why would God show us anything if we're not going to do it? It is so hard to talk to someone when they're distracted. During our premarital and marital counseling sessions, we kind of share with the wife, when he's watching the game, it's not a good time to have one of those deep conversations. I used to be a huge Laker fan, but now I'm too old. My kids call me a flip flopper. Anybody gonna win a championship, that's my team now, okay? I'm too old. I can't wait for another LA championship. I gotta jump on a bandwagon. I'm too old now. Golden State, let's go. My wife and mother-in-law from Ohio. I could roll with Cleveland. That's in Ohio. We got family in Ohio. Amen. Cleveland, let's go. LeBron, let's go. Used to be a huge Laker fan. I'm a flip-flopper now. I'll be the first to admit it. I just need a championship. I'll be 53 next month. I can't wait for another. I don't know if I'm going to get another one. I can't wait. But when I'm watching the game, it's not when the spouse is watching the game or if the wife is watching the Food Network or whatever's going on. It's not time to have a conversation because I'm not really listening. Then you finish and say, what did you say? That's what God is saying right here. I can't talk to you when you're so distracted. You got so much going on. Well, how can I reveal things to you? Because when we finish talking, I'm going to say, did you hear me? You're going to say, wait, say that again. Guys, I don't have time for that. I need you to be obedient so I can reveal some things to you. Somebody make a note of that. As we're going into 2017, don't wait until the new year. God said, I need you to be obedient because there are some things I want to share with you. Lord, help us to be obedient. Then Judas in 22 said unto him, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and here we go, make our abode with him. We will come and dwell inside of him. When you surrender your heart and mind to Jesus Christ, he says, I will come and live inside of you, me and my Father. There's a Trinity, make a note of it. God wants to live inside of us. God wants to dwell there. God wants to be there. God wants to lead. And it's no wonder we're under attack. It's no wonder it's so many distractions. And for our youth, there's so much information out there, but it's not a lot of wisdom out there. You have to stay in the Word so you can get the wisdom of God. There's a huge difference between wisdom and information, between godly wisdom and the world's information. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, verse 26, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Verse 27, make a note. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. The peace that God gives, it's not the same as the world. It doesn't come in stuff. It doesn't come from people. It doesn't come from situations and circumstances. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit living in your life and the calm delight that God gives from knowing him. That rules your heart and mind, and it gives you peace. The world gives temporary, God gives permanent. That's why I said we should not be fearful and we should not be afraid. Don't confuse the two. God's peace versus the world's peace. They are not the same. All right, so let's 28. That's where I want to go today. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Still speaking of the Trinity, Jesus says, my Father is greater than I. But look back at John 10 and 30. Turn to John 10 and 30. Jesus told him that he and his Father are one. They're the same. Although, and that's the mystery of the Trinity. Will we ever understand it? Probably not fully, till we get to the other side. But we know that God and Jesus are the same, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's inside of us. It's like an untapped gold mine inside of us, and we don't tap into it because we're so distracted. But that's the enemy's job, to keep us distracted. So we never experience the fullness and the power and the life that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Let's start at verse 24, John 10 and 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long will you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Look what Jesus tells them. Verse 25, Jesus said unto them, I told you and you believe not. Sometimes God can be speaking and nobody's listening. God speaks through every situation, every circumstance, but we still want a sign. Remember, we talked about that last week. We're waiting on God. God's waiting on us. We're waiting on God. God's waiting on us. God, you first. No, no, after you. No, I insist, after you. No, after you. No, after you. No, after you. We're waiting on God. God's waiting on us. Jesus says, I've been telling you, but you're not listening. God speaks. God is speaking today, but I would say to you that we are still not listening. Or maybe it's because God's not telling us what we want to hear. Amen. So I want to wait and see if he's going to say something else. Jesus answered them, verse 25, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Make a note that your works bear witness of you. Not that your works saved you, but your works tell who you are. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. Verse 26, you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What an interesting analogy. Sheep, shepherd, is throughout the Old Testament, and here's Jesus talking about it now. And if you ever go on YouTube, you can pull up a sheep and a shepherd's voice. And the sheep would be on the hill, and the shepherd would come and call out. He'll call out, and all of a sudden, his sheep will come to him. That's amazing. It's amazing. So Jesus used that same analogy. My sheep hear my voice and they will not follow another. So here we go. How do we make sure that we're God's sheep? That's between you and God. Are you listening to his voice? How many voices are you listening to? It's always a struggle where we say either it's the enemy speaking, it's your flesh speaking, or it's God speaking. It's three of those things going on. Somebody's speaking. One of the things that breaks my heart, I teach at a lesson home. I do Bible study there and I do life skills there. And it's psychiatric for youth. I think the youngest one there I'm working with now is 11. So I'll go on Mondays for Bible study, and some of the kids, they'll stop me and say, Pastor, pray for me, because I'm hearing voices. And if you never experienced that, you just don't know how deep that is. That voices are telling you to do things, to cut yourself, to hang yourself, to kill yourself. And is it a combination of the medication, depression? We just don't know. But it breaks my heart. I'll be walking through the hallway and a kid will just stop me, Pastor, please pray for me that the voices will stop. That's a tough one. And then here's God saying that my sheep hear my voice. Trust me, you're going to hear some voices this week. It might not be as deep as my psychiatric group home, but it's still going to try and influence you to do something that's not godly. Are you going to listen? Are you listening for God's voice, or it doesn't matter who speaks to you, because I'm going to do my own thing? It gets deeper. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Make a note. Who are you following? Whose voice are you listening for? Look what he says in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them or snatch them out of my hand. So here we talk about, I guess we answered the question right here. Can you lose your salvation? Amen, Pastor Manny. That's a debate. Some people say, yeah, you can lose your salvation. Others say, no, based on this scripture, it says, let me read it again. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Sounds like to me, God is saying, once I got you, I got you. But we have to make sure that we're really God's. And only you know if you've had an authentic, genuine, transformational experience with God by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Only you know that. I can't judge that for you, and you can't judge it for me. As a sheep, are you dialed in to your shepherd's voice? Only you can answer that question. But once you're God's, you are God's. But I wouldn't be gambling my eternal salvation, location, and final destination. I'm not going to play with that. Zig Ziglar, the famous motivational speaker, he put it this way. He said, I realize I'm going to be dead a lot longer than I was alive, so I need to get this thing right. You can be sure and secure. Verse 27 again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Make a note in Ephesians, what is it, 4:30, where it tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to stress out the Holy Spirit, not to lie to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. Then it goes on to say we are sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals us. When we accept Christ in our heart, we accept the Holy Spirit, obviously, because it's part of the Trinity. And then there's some type of mark or some type of seal or some type of smear that's put on us where God recognizes us. And it says it's there until the day that God cashes us in, until God redeems us. So it's like it's like we're God's spiritual voucher. He's going to cash us in one day. You're God's, let me put it this way, you're God's EBT card. He can go and just slide you in, and it's already, because he's already sealed you. You're God's food stamp. Amen? You are. And see, the only problem with that, speaking from personal experience, is that food stamp, that serial number better match the thing it came out of. Somebody say amen. Trying to see like Pastor was the only one who grew up on food stamps. Did I tell you about my food stamp store story? Did I tell you that? I didn't tell you that one? You want to hear it, Gina? I'm at Boys Market. Amen. Somebody, that's how old I am. Right, I'm at Boys Market, and so then some people come behind me that I know, and I don't want them to see that we're using food stamps. So I just take it out and tear it out, and I try and slide it to the lady. And she said, "You know, do you have the package that they come in? Because the serial numbers need to match." And all of a sudden, Now what was a little scene became a big scene. Now that she got to match the serial numbers. Okay, here's your food stamps. Yeah, thanks a lot. I should have gave her the book. If I would have gave her, but no, I got to be. I don't want people to see. I'm too cool to have food stamps. And got put on blast. As long as your seal matches God's seal, you're good. As long as you're listening to God's voice, you're good. You're sealed. That's why nobody can snatch you out of God's hand, because you got the mark, you got the seal on you. Look at verse 29. It says, "My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all." Somebody better underline that. Despite what we go through, there's no one greater than God. And we learned last week with the affliction. He said it was a beautiful thing that I was afflicted, because it brought me closer to God. I could follow God's prescription. It was a beautiful, it was a blessed thing that I went through all this, that I was distressed, that I was humbled, that I was mishandled. It was a beautiful thing that I got mishandled. So now I could understand how much God really loves me. That's why it's okay to go through stuff. Because my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he hit them with it. He said, "Me and my Father were the same." And look what they did after that. Same thing they did in John 8. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Why? Because he just said he was God. Don't let people tell you Jesus Christ. He never claimed to be God. He said he was the Son of God. He said right here, "Me and my Father, we're the same. We are one." And the Jews knew exactly what that was. And then here they are in verse 32. Jesus said unto them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" They answered him and said, No, not for that. "For a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. And because that you being a man, you made yourself God." And that was the penalty for that was death. They knew exactly what he was saying, that he claimed to be God. So here it is. People try and tell you, well, Jesus was just a good teacher. That's not true. He was a good man. No, he claimed to be God. Don't let him try and slide that on you. No, he was not. He was God in the flesh, because a good man doesn't go around lying. Somebody say amen. Ladies, say amen. Amen. Wives, say amen. Amen. I got a good, you say, wife, I have a great husband. What is he? Well, he lies all the time. Really? See, that doesn't go together. Don't try and, he was a great teacher. No, he was not just a great teacher. He said he was God in the flesh. And if he wasn't God in the flesh, then he's a liar. And you can't be a good man and be a liar. You can be delivered from lying, and now you could be a good man, but you can't be a good man and be a liar. All right, let's finish this up. Let's go back to John 14 and let's finish it. And one thing I discovered in as I was reading John 14, and make a note of this. This is a conversation. It magnifies this entire conversation, because this is a conversation that John records that Jesus had with his disciples the night before he was crucified. So look at it this way. This is Jesus, one of his last wills and testament to his disciples. That you allow me to live inside of you. That you follow my prescription. How much God loves you. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm going to send the comforter, and he's going to give you peace, and he's going to teach you. Don't be afraid. Don't be upset. He's going to give you peace. Not that the world gives you, but as I give you. Here he is talking to them on the night before he's crucified. And this is what he's saying. It puts in a whole different context. And in John 14 and 6, that's when he tells them, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." This is, he's trying to make it as plain as he could. And then look at verse, we pick it up in verse 30. verse 29. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, or when it come to pass, you might believe. Jesus said, I'm trying to make it plain as I can so that you will believe. There's some things that's getting ready to go down in your life, but you need to hold on to me and you need to believe. That's why I'm trying to make it as plain as I can. Look what he says in verse 30. He says, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince or the ruler of this world comes and has nothing in me. So he speaks of the spiritual warfare. He says, I'm getting ready to get out of here. But the prince, the ruler of this world, and if you want to know how it happened, you can read Revelation 12, where Lucifer, who was an angel, wanted to take over and got kicked out. It was a war in heaven, and he got kicked down, kicked out to the earth. That's what Jesus is saying. The counterfeit is coming. Has nothing to do with me. Spiritual warfare. He's talking about listening to my voice. So family, here's what we have to, here's what you and I have to deal with. All right, which voice is the right voice? We know if it's God's voice, it never contradicts his word. But if you don't know his word, or if he's, because the enemy knows the word, and he'll try and slide you the word like, God will forgive you. It's okay. The Bible says everybody does it. Really? What? Where did it say that at? So you have to make sure you listen to God's voice. But the only way to know the difference between the real and the counterfeit is to study the real. But if you don't know God's word, then you don't know if it's counterfeit mixed with the real. I'm full of stories today. But my first job out of high school, I got hired with Home Savings of America at the bank. Eventually became Washington Mutual, and now it's Chase. How many of you bank at Chase right now? Well, that's pretty cool. All right, back in the day it was Home Savings of America. How many of you knew that? Some of us knew that. All right. So I used to work there as a bank teller. I got hired right out of high school. And I worked there for a couple of years, and I worked for Bank of America as well. But they would train us how to find the difference between when those funny money, as they would call it. People would come to your line and try and pass you some funny money, which we know to be counterfeit. And you got to be on guard. So they wouldn't give us the counterfeit to study. They would give us the real money to study. When you studied the real money, when somebody came to your line with something counterfeit, oh, you recognize it. That's not real. You could tell right off by studying real money. That's what Jesus is saying right here. When you study the word, okay, when you study the word and somebody comes with another gospel or another doctrine, you recognize it right off. Amen. The word don't say that. The word don't say that. But if you're not studying the word, then you cannot, if you're not studying those bills daily, somebody's going to slide you some funny money. If you're not studying this word daily, somebody's going to slide you some funny gospel. And it's going to be close, trust me. It was close, but you can recognize the real from the counterfeit. Every time. You can recognize the real from the counterfeit. That's why, young ladies, where are young ladies at? All right, our young ladies that are youth. Okay, you're young. All right. You're not included in this one. All right. If you are afraid to bring your boyfriend to church and introduce him to the elders of the church, you already know he's counterfeit. Let me say that again to our young ladies. I'll get to the young men in just a minute. If you are afraid, you met this guy and you like him and you're afraid to bring him to the church elders to meet him, he's counterfeit. Because we're going to look at that joker and go, one conversation, we'll know if he's really about this or if he's about something else. It's like, no, I don't want him. I don't want to introduce him to nobody. Okay. And young men, if you don't want to bring her around. We got some young men over. Hey, Jalen's back. Hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you. You too, Justin, the two J's, J and J. And David, I see you back there. But if you don't want to bring her around to the church elder so we can say hello and get to meet her, then she's counterfeit. She's probably not the one. Because you got some seasoned saints in here that can recognize the counterfeit right off the bat. But I don't want to bring the counterfeit around the real, because there's a big difference. Amen, Viviana. Amen. So here we go. Make a note that there's the world's standard and then there's God's standard. This word is God's standard. And we have to run everything through the filter of God's standard to determine if it's real or if it's counterfeit. All right, so let's finish this up. Verse 30 again. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the ruler of this world comes and has nothing in me. The total opposite from God is Satan. The total opposite from God's word is the world. Especially in today's culture. Verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me the prescription, the commandment, even so I do. And then he said, arise, let us go and get busy. Word arise means to wake up, to snap out of it, to get out of your sleep, and let's go. I love how Jesus ended that. He said, hey, what's left to do? Let's get up and let's. And remember, he's going to the crucifixion, be crucified the next day. Let's get up and let's be about our Father's business. Then chapter 15, he gets into being the true vine, the real authentic vine, and the Father is the vine dresser, or the creator of everything. And that's where we'll pick it up next time. Let's just spend a few minutes in prayer, and then we will go ahead and close out. Jesus said, arise, let us go. Arise and let us get going. Get up and let's leave from this place and go to either side, is what he's saying. And family, I guess the challenge to us is during this holiday season, let's get up and let's go and share the love of God with our family, our friends, our co-workers. Let us get up. Let us be light. Let us be salt. Let us be love with everyone that we come in contact with. Get up and let's do it. It's what God is telling us. We're going to have plenty of opportunity this holiday season to see friends and family and loved ones. Let us get up and share the love of God with them. Let us live this thing. So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you as you've challenged us, Lord, to study your word, to love you, to bear fruit, to listen to your voice, everything that we need to do daily, so we don't get caught up and distracted by the counterfeit that's out there. The enemy can't snatch us out of your hand, but he sure is trying. God, I pray that we hear your voice, that we get into your word, that we won't get distracted and caught up with the counterfeit. Thank you for sealing us with your Holy Spirit. So it's no question. We are sure and secure. We've been born again. We have eternal life with you. But let us share so we can plant and water seeds and you give the increase so others can experience it. The peace and the love here, as well as when they transition to be with you. So we thank you for this holiday season, for allowing us to be a family, to experience it once again together. We thank you that you created all seasons. We love and worship you every day. We don't wait for a particular day or a certain day, but it's every day that we minister unto you. So comfort our hearts with your word. Thank you for challenging us, Lord, and encouraging us and convicting us and then telling us to get up and go and do what you've called us to do, to make disciples and build your kingdom here on earth. So I pray for anyone now who might say, Pastor, I'm here and I've got to get to the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I need to get saved today. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I'm not going to wait till New Year's. I'm going to do it today. So much happens between now and the new year. I'm not going to gamble with my final destination, my eternal salvation. I'm going to accept and rededicate my life today. So if that's you and you want to rededicate your life, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm just looking for a church home. I've been visiting, but I've never officially joined. Today, I want to make it official. If that's you, elevate your hand. We love to be your family. We're not just members. We are family. Family, yes. Amen. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you to do. You are a faithful God. You are forever. You're always the same. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're calling us not to be business as usual. But to live your word daily. We bless you, we thank you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet as we prepare to dismiss. Now remember, next week is Christmas Sunday, and you are going to unwrap the gifts after church. We're wearing our Christmas colors to church. What? Oh, gosh. We have trouble with numbers and colors. English, we're pretty good. What are the Christmas colors? Wear something nice, okay? Be in godly dress code. How about that? Amen. So let me leave you with this blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. Says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. In Jesus' name, give somebody a hug. You are dismissed.